Now, for a man who spoke yesterday at an Oireachtas committee, Robert Watt's name was still echoing around the building today. Gabby, really, still a day on, that's a high-impact intervention at an Oireachtas committee. More about tone than substance, was it?
Yeah, I think TDs were very much so left reeling after that performance yesterday. And even today, you know, at press conferences with Leo Varadkar and Stephen Donnelly, you know, it's the topic that's on everybody's lips. It seems that there won't be any sanctions of any form, at least according to Minister Donnelly. He's saying we're not going to sanction based on tone. And I think it was that tone of Robert Watt that really was what struck TDs. I mean, John McGuinness, chair of the committee, saying that, you know, he's arrogant, he's coming in, he's got no opening statement, TDs are asking questions, they feel like maybe they're not getting the answers that they like. And I think they're frustrated with him, and I think they're frustrated in that he's doing the rounds between the committees, and it's every couple of months he comes before a committee, he has the scrap, we talk about it for a couple of days, and then it goes away. And one TD made the point that privately to me today that, you know, it's great that we talk about it every couple of months, but there's no repercussions because it doesn't stay top of the agenda, we forget about it. And really, what is it that ministers can do about it? Not much.
Yeah, and indeed, neither the Nilo. What repercussions should there be? I mean, the report has been issued. The government says it's going to be implemented. Your own party doesn't have the appetite for there to be any repercussions. And it seems nobody else does either. There was a question raised as to whether his position was tenable, but no prescriptions to government as to whether or not it should be.
Well, I think, Colm, in the first instance, the most important issue here, regardless of yesterday's performance, and I don't think it was the finest hour at the committee yesterday. I think you'll find agreement across the Oireachtas in relation to that. The key thing is that the findings of the review are implemented, that Stephen Donnelly acts and acts swiftly. I think an important point to remember, too, is that Mr. Watt coming before the Finance Committee wouldn't have happened without Mairead Farrell, who proposed using compellability powers, which were then granted for the first time in committee history. Following Mr. Watt's refusal to attend. So it doesn't make for a fantastic tone, but however, I don't think anyone's looking ahead on a plate here. The key thing is that this review, the findings of this review are accepted, broadly accepted, not least by government and the relevant apparatus of government and the state, and that it's implemented swiftly, effectively and fully.
I suppose it should be mentioned too that even though those powers of compatibility were there, he still did attend voluntarily. Padraig Tobin, he came in, he gave his view of a report. He's entitled to his opinion. It's unusual to hear it, perhaps, from a senior civil servant. But as government ministers pointed out today, he'll do it and he'll like it when it comes to implementing it.
I just think it's emblematic of all that's wrong in Irish politics. We have a permanent civil service who can do what they like in certain situations. And then we have an elected ministers who sit on the sidelines within their departments. You know, the idea that a minister would actually, you know, decide to get a review created and written by an eminent person such as Maura Quinn, and that review would come to very clear conclusions and recommendations, and then the person who is the top the object of that review would then say, well, no, I actually just don't agree with it anyways, and this, you know, and that's the end of it. Like, he's giving the two fingers to the review and to the minister, and the fact that the minister is so powerless that there's not going to be any accountability in this is incredible.
But in real terms, he's not giving two fingers to anyone. He disagrees with the conclusions because they don't reflect particularly well on him. But those conclusions are going to have to be implemented. He will have to run any future secondments through the ringer, as has been demanded by that report. He may be displaying an attitude in open country, as it were, but maybe it's better to see it and know what has to be challenged rather than deference on the surface and resistance underneath.
Well, first of all, if there's no accountability in government, there's no change. And that's what we see all the time. We see these reports written and then we see them gathering dust, never being implemented.
Well, in your opinion, what should the consequences
be? Well, if I was the minister, I wouldn't tolerate his position. And that's straight up. It's an inversion of democracy. The whole idea of democracy is that the people elect ministers. Those ministers direct public servants to do X, Y, and Z. But here we have obviously a public servant of such power who gets an enormous pay increase just, you know, a little while ago, and we have a situation where he is ignoring. And you said that there's learnings from this.
No, I never used the word learnings. No, there may be lessons. Right. That was many, in the report.
Some people are using the word learnings, right? But surely the first part of learnings is that you accept that you did something wrong. If you don't accept something that you did something wrong, how is that learning? Right. You know, okay. I just think that the government are showing massive weakness in terms of administration here, and it is at the roots of many of the problems we have in Irish politics that there's such an imbalance of power at ministerial level.
All right, Fergus O'Dowd, or maybe people believe the report's the report. Why reopen a fight, in effect, that you've had the last word in as government in the form of this report? Is that the approach?
Well, I think the key point is, what were they actually trying to do? The chief medical officer was retiring from his position, moving from his very difficult position. He had a fantastic record during that very difficult time. He expressed a wish to move into, obviously, academic world. He could give a huge benefit to public health education and universities. That was the objective.
Sure. I want to make the point.
There was no clear pathway.
No, okay. And he acted as the point man in negotiating with a third level.
If I could please make the point, there was no pathway for people of a lower rank than Secretary General to do that. If he had been a Secretary General, he could have been seconded for 5 years maximum, and then the job would have to be advertised.
If you're talking about the absence of process. Surely, I am absolutely. And if there is an absence of process, if the way now. Of establishing a process yep. to let somebody go off on a solo exactly. run and yep. carve out their own path.
It's wrong, absolutely wrong. And the sure. report says that. But what I'm trying to say is, when this all started up, I don't think the political system was clearly aware of that. The report finds that nobody acted in bad faith. There's clearly huge differences between what people said and what other people think they said or did. But the fact is, the objective was a good objective. It's important to have to second people from the public into the academic or private world the other way around.
It wasn't a good process for a start. Robert Watts broke the protocols in terms of this. Secondly, we had an individual who was basically creating their own job and had a conflict of interest in terms of that money. And Robert Watt committed 20 million euros without government oversight. It was a botched process and a process that should never be let happen. You know, we need to have a recruitment process within public service that is open to citizens who are qualified to be able to apply for it. And this wasn't the case in this scenario. And, you know, it's just... The level of insiders getting jobs in this system for so long, we saw the Catherine Zappone situation just a few months earlier, makes people sick to their stomach in the rest of Irish society. Right.
Niall O'Donnell, should there be now a group set up, the Maura Quinn Report Implementation Group, in order to ensure, where are we going to see the establishment of the protocols formally put in place for future secondments or other such appointments? I mean, we have the broad outline in a report, but who's going to pull the pieces together and draw up the code of practice?
Well, Colm, I certainly agree with what Potter said in relation that this is indicative of a culture, and it's a culture that would have allowed this to happen in the first instance. I think the recommendations need to be implemented by government. They need to be taken by the relevant line minister, the responsible minister, and in this case, Stephen Donnelly needs to get on top of what is going on within his brief, within his department, and now that this review has been concluded, and now that this review has outlined a number of recommendations need to be driven home. They need to be implemented, and civil servants at whatever level need to understand and appreciate that those are the confines, the appropriate and proper confines in which they have to operate, and that obviously includes Robert Watt.
But it is more than just the issue of the secondment, though, isn't it? Like, Robert Watt keeps cropping up here every couple of months, and it's to do with one news story or another. So be it his pay, be it the pay rise, him waiving the pay rise, then he would find out he finally has taken the pay rise. You know, be it this issue with the secondment, how did that happen? If you read the report, this very public spat that he has with Taoiseach's chief of staff, who was then the Taoiseach's chief of staff, Deirdre Galán, you know, he's known for being very outspoken. He's known for expressing his opinion. And I will say, in his defence, there have been You know, he's a secretary general, so he's obviously a very competent individual. It's not like he's just like any old civil servant. He's a very competent individual, and he is to be praised for his work in across the Department of Public Expenditure and Health, because he is known to be, you know, he doesn't take any rubbish. He says what he thinks and he gets the job done. Now, he is very outspoken about it.
Bob the Builder.
And he's very bullish. I think some would say he's a celebrity civil servant. He's been described as that. But I think the issue of what we saw yesterday was with this sort of this attitude that he has. All and right. Perhaps some TDs felt that maybe he was a little bit above accountability.